upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Mulletcast, the podcast where business and pleasure collide. My name is Evan Balmer. Follow me on Instagram at Evan Balmer. We just unveiled Mullet Life Retreat, and I'm joined by the collaborators on that one. We got Ming Chen. Follow him at MingChen37. He'll be presenting on Ming is known as the pod father, I forgot, who'll be presenting on world domination through podcasting. Nice. Brett Morgan. Brett's an entrepreneur, software engineer, all around busy guy, who'll be talking about the struggles of being busy in business and life. And also Summer Deaver. Follow Brett at Brett Morgan, BRETMORGAN. Summer, follow her on Instagram at sacred.shape, who'll be presenting on bring true presence to your life. What's going on, everybody?
Hi.
What's up?
How's it going?
Good.
It's getting real up in here, huh?
Yeah.
So we're all really going to Nicaragua, I guess.
We are.
I haven't been there in a couple of years. I'm excited.
That's cool. So for me, like when I started the Mulletcast, the whole idea was originally talk to people like the mullet, you know, the business and pleasure parts of your life. So not just learning about each of you, like what you do professionally, but what you do in your downtime, like get to know more about you as a person. So creating like the mullet life idea was an opportunity to get away somewhere, and like the buzzwords were chill, connect, create. So part of it was like chill, relax, do something, you know, fun to re-energize yourself, but also learn while you're there, and like, you know, bring something back to build on, basically. So you're all the first people I thought of that would help other people accomplish that. So I'm glad you all said yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You had to twist my arm a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So I guess let's just go around the horn. Summer, we'll start with you since you're sort of on the, if we go clockwise. Actually, Brett introduced me to you originally, and I was sort of like at the time looking to find out more about mindfulness, was what sort of led to that conversation. And I've been to your mindfulness class you teach on Tuesdays in Hal, actually. So do you want to talk about what your idea of bringing true presence to your life is?
Yeah. Well, first I want to say, like, I'm really excited about this retreat because I've led a lot of retreats internationally, and they're yoga and meditation retreats. So getting to work with you guys is really exciting. Like having these mastermind groups that we're organizing, it being about, having a really good time for people that are creative and want to create the next thing in their life with the support of beautiful minds coming together. Mm-hmm. So thanks for that. I guess what it means to bring true presence is, mindfulness is pretty widespread throughout any profession, right? At this point in time, within school systems, within corporations, throughout the world, you know, as well. But the understanding that it's not just about becoming more efficient or effective in whatever it is that you're doing, whether you're a student or an entrepreneur, but that when we're present, it's like, this is the purpose of why we're here, you know, on the planet. It's like to really enjoy whatever it is that's in front of you, and to take ownership of the ability to place your awareness on what you choose right? Yesterday I was walking through the reservoir out in Howell, just like a break for a 12-hour day at the studio. And on the left side, there's like this beautiful landscape of like these dead trees and the water and birds, and the colors are just like exceptional. And then on the other side, there's like a freaking highway, you know, of like traffic. And so we get this choice all the time, I think, of like, oh, there's a lot of crap happening in the world. You know, everybody that we know in some ways like getting sick or having trouble and drama and things in their life. But then there's also the magic and the beauty of what's happening in the present moment. So that's basically what it is like honing in and practicing, bringing our attention and awareness to what we choose, rather than our awareness kind of being grabbed and pulled from us in whatever direction it goes.
That's really cool. And it's weird because how many people drive down that highway every day and never know that the beautiful scene's right there, you know, like right next to them.
I can't imagine.
So that's really cool. And people should check out Yoga Peace Kula is where your mindfulness class is on Tuesdays today, actually.
Yeah, that's our nonprofit yoga studio out in Howell. We have tons of yoga classes. We try to make it really affordable. So it's not like a $25, it's a $12 drop-in yoga class. And then we do a lot with the public schools and bringing mindfulness to teachers and students, staff, and beyond.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like you did mention it. Like I see a lot these days, like you'll see on LinkedIn or different news stories of people that are like chief mindfulness officers at corporations and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty wild.
Yeah. I think it's great.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then on the retreat, you'll also be leading some maybe yoga or meditation as well.
Yeah. You know, Brett and I did a training together several years ago. It was pretty intensive yoga training. So we're going to alternate. We'll alternate between teaching meditation and yoga daily. It's like always opt-in,
right?
You know, if you want to wake up early and practice yoga with us, we'll be there. Some beautiful scene doing yoga and you can jump in. Same thing with meditation, you know, if you need to sleep in, then you sleep in, right? That's part of like the mullet life is like allowing it to be what you need.
Yeah, that's cool. And like, I just want to throw out there, like, the whole idea is like surf and learn. And it's funny because like a few people have asked me like, oh, well, I don't surf, so I don't want to go. Like, I don't surf either. You know, like I spent my life, I'll boogie board and stuff, but I've never surfed.
I think it's called bodyboard if you're cool.
Sweet, sorry. What do surfers call you? Like sponge something or other, like, yeah, some derogatory term.
Yeah,
I'm sure Brett's already thinking about it.
Don't worry about it.
Is there a cool term for it?
I see this retreat, like there'll be like a Benny camp and you and I will be in that. We'll be on our foam top surfboards learning and then someone else.
Yeah, seriously.
Everybody that knows how to surf will go somewhere cool.
No, yeah. I mean, half the reason putting this together is like, I'm like seriously getting old and like I want to learn how to surf. I've surfed once in my life. I was probably like 17 or something. And then I just couldn't do it. Just kept bodyboarding. Yoga, it's something like I've been interested in. Like I've asked Brett a bunch of times, like about where he teaches and stuff. I've never gone. I know Ming does a lot of yoga. So I went to my first class not too long ago and sat in the back of the class like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I'm just watching people trying to duplicate what they're doing or whatever. But it's something I've wanted to do. So like I'm going on this trip, you know, there's yoga, there's surfing and all that stuff. You don't have to know how to do it when you go. Like I'm going to basically learn also. So I think that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And then some people might be really into surfing and yoga, but be like, want to learn about podcasting.
That's right.
Or about growing my business. Or, you know, and so I feel like it's going to be a really amazing group of people that are there.
That's cool. All right. So, Brett, you're a guy like I see around a lot who always, I mean, to me, my perception of you is like you have a handle on what you're doing, right? I mean, in your mind, you might have like chaos going on or something, but you're presenting on the struggle of being busy in business and life, which obviously you are. And you have a new child as well. Congratulations.
Ah, thank you.
So now you're doubly busy, triply busy, I guess.
Well, I think we write and we teach about the things that we're struggling with in our own lives and trying to figure out and learn. Right. So a lot of, I guess, what this whole thing kind of stemmed from a talk I gave back in the spring, I guess, at an event.
But really, I've run businesses where I've worked 12, 14, 16 hour days for years and not like taking trips and vacations. I've run businesses where maybe I'm a little too checked out and not a hands on the pulse. Mm-hmm. And I think there is a healthy balance between the two. I don't think anybody, like, you're not serving yourself or anybody on your team or any of your partners or anything if you're working like crazy long hours. So it's a little bit of, and you're not taking care of yourself. And that's where, I guess where yoga and everything came into me originally was I was working too much. I was succeeding to some extent, but very much also I was also like burning myself out, burning out my body. And honestly, the first time I ever walked into a yoga studio, mm-hmm. I walked into a little Ashtanga studio in Avon, Wendy Green Yoga, knowing nothing about yoga. I had taken like, I think, one yoga class I was required to take in college, and that was like my entire experience.
Right.
I walked in with my girlfriend at the time, and they were like chanting in the beginning, and I just looked at her, and I was like, fuck this, and turned around and like walked out. And I was like, I'm not doing that, it's weird. And then a couple of weeks later, something kept being like, dude, you should just go check it out. It's probably not that weird. You know plenty of people that do it.
Right.
So a couple of weeks later, I worked up the courage, went back in, and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. But then I don't know what happened, but I just kept going, and a lot of the other students there and the teacher and was very encouraging, be like, hey, listen, you need to keep coming. And then eventually it turned into like a 6 day a week thing. And then really what happened was I just went there for a little bit of exercise, and it ended up like transforming my entire like state and being. Like, I stopped being as angry. I stopped, working as much. I started to be able to work more efficiently, more effectively. And being able to like understand that you gotta like live your life. Like, the reason why we work for ourselves is so we don't have to like be working for somebody else. Mm. But really, there's two ways to work. There's run a business, there's making a job for yourself, and then there's running a business and being able to create a lifestyle, like through using your business to create the lifestyle that you want to lead.
Right.
Where now it's transformed into like I'm a parent and I have two kids now and a wife, and it's very much like I want to be there and be present and see my kids grow up and drop them off at school and not have to be like on a train up to New York City like 5 hours a day. And so I guess what I've been kind of distilling, and I'm going to be
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Teaching a little bit on is about the things that I've incorporated into my life, and these things are very much like constantly transforming, constantly changing, and some of the techniques, some of the tools, and some of the strategies that I use in my life to be able to find that balance, to be able to like show up for work, show up in life, and then be able to get the downtime and really have that holistic approach to living a fulfilling life.
Mm, yeah, it's really cool. I had that conversation with someone the other day. It's like, there was nothing worse than working for someone else and like going into your boss's office and being like, is it cool if I leave at like, you know, 4 tomorrow to go to my daughter's soccer game, you know, or someone else put it the other way. They're like, you know, I used to ask, someone had something to do with their family on like a Friday, and they're like, you know, typically they'd work till like 7, and it's like, is it cool if I leave early tomorrow, which was like 6 or 6:30, you know? And he's like, there's just no way to live your life, you know. But you're right, people then still get trapped in like the same thing when they work for themselves, so that's the mm-hmm. key, you know.
It can even be more detrimental, because a lot right. of times you end up working too much and then you don't have a boss to answer to, and mm-hmm. and you're like, I have to do this because
right.
this is what I need to do. And so, and the reality is I do a healthy amount of travel, and there's times I've stepped away for a while, and things maybe aren't as smooth when you're not in the day to day, but there's been no critical like I think back like 5 years, 7 years, 10 years on some projects or anything in the moment that we're working on that seems so important that I couldn't like I had to step away from the things that I consider important in my life,
right.
that it would have been like, you know what, like everything would have fallen apart if I had like not done that. And it's like it moves on. I mean, there's always consequences and repercussions and
right.
paths. But at the end of the day, like the wheels aren't going to fall off because you like take a week vacation somewhere.
Right.
Or you duck out to go to a yoga class in the middle of the day.
That's right. So in a lot of ways, you're the catalyst for a lot of what we're doing on this trip because, as you said, you just had a child. And you've been to Nicaragua a lot. So when we had the early conversations, you're like, I would love to do it, but I really want to go when you're going to Nicaragua. And the dates I can go, you calculated out when your new son could officially travel.
We're still debating that one.
So your math may be on or off.
I'm going, but days. There might be four of us going or there might be one.
Okay. So. Cool. All right. So we are going March 21st to 28th, which seemed to be in your mind like a good first trip for your family. Right?
Mm. So, our oldest son, his first trip was Nicaragua. When
was it
I thought it was like 5 months. My wife did the math and I think it came out to be like 7 or 8 months. So. Mm. Like we're
all right, so you're a little optimistic.
We'll see how scared he is.
That's cool. All right, sweet. So what can you tell us about Nicaragua? We're going to, I guess, generally the regions like Playa Madeiras, mm-hmm. which is known as like a very popular surfing area, but more specifically we're in San Juan del Sur.
So San Juan del Sur is I first started going to Nicaragua, I guess, in like 2009. I did my first trip, and right. I've probably done, I don't know, somewhere between 15 and 20 trips over the past 10 years there. I have some property up in the north. I bought a couple of years back that I'll still do something with at some point. Mm. But San Juan del Sur is the town that's kind of like, it was like an old fisher town that's now kind of been revitalized as like a surf kind of backpacker, like it's kind of on the hippie backpacker trail, and then surfers discovered it. And then, but there's no surf there. It's just a bay, but there's lots of restaurants. There's lots of bars. There's lots of like yoga studios. There's a craft brewery that opened up a couple of years ago. So Playa Madeiras is about 10 kilometers, north of San Juan del Sur, mm-hmm. on this crazy dirt, awesome road that you feel like you're in the middle of the jungle. I remember the first time I went there, I was like literally my driver. I was like, is he taking me to like a field to like kill me and bury me or whatever? But then you go down this like up this hill and then go down this hill and you come out into this gorgeous beach and you feel like you're the most remote place. Mm-hmm. There's a little surf like hostel right there on the beach. There's a little like taco place that literally when I started going there, it was like a fold out table with pickup trucks. And now it's like this whole big crazy building that they kind of own the little beach there now. But there's like a cool little just vibe. It's changed over the years. I mean, when I first started going there, it was like, if you met an American, that was your friend. I was like, you're an American? Cool.
Right.
There's lots of Canadians there, lots of European tourists, but Americans seem to kind of steer away from Nicaragua, mm-hmm. Mainly because of our parents in the 80s and Iran-Contra and everything.
Right.
But the Canadians and Europeans, it was kind of their secret little haven for like 10 years.
That's cool.
But I just absolutely fell in love. I mean, the people I've met there, and that's part of the thing that's intriguing about this retreat too, especially like the masterminding piece of it. Mm. It's some of the people that I've just met, and like you're just hanging out in like the jungle, staring up at the stars at like 3 o'clock in the morning, just having conversations that you never thought you would have before. It's wow. like, it's intense and it's awesome. And then, that was my first trip. I was there for about 2 weeks and then I got home and I'm like, I kind of want to be back there.
Oh, wow.
So I booked a flight, went back a couple months later, and I kept doing that. I brought some friends down there. I brought a good friend of mine down there one time, and she actually ended up moving there for 3 years.
Really?
I've taken like friends here down there and just been like, hey, just come down for a week, just to check it out.
Right.
And it's like literally my home away from home. And the beauty too is it's like, it's not that far. It's like a 3-hour flight through like Houston or Miami or wherever your connector is, and then another like 3 hours
That's
to
cool.
Managua, and then you're there, you're in paradise, and it's awesome.
That's sweet. I'm psyched. I mean, that painted a great picture for me.
Yeah. I think you got it.
Min got excited when you talked about that taco truck.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, you know I love food. You just sparked a memory. I've worked in the corporate world when I started out. I remember having to fill out that form because I wanted to leave an hour early.
Right.
Like it was literally hey, you know, I had a doctor's appointment or something. I had to fill out a whole form requesting permission
right.
to leave an hour early. I don't even know if they gave it to me or not, but I think crazy. It was that point. I was like, I can't.
Like, what am I doing?
I can't do this forever.
Right.
So, yeah. And so surfing, even if you don't surf, you know, well, I I think Brett surfs. I've been on the waves. Like, you know, you'll learn.
Right.
You got to get out there at least once. And once you catch that first wave, I think you're instantly hooked.
Yeah, that's what I'm picturing. Yeah.
There's a line from the movie Point Break where you know, surfing's a source. It'll change your life. Like, and it does. It literally changes everything catching that first wave. Right. So, if you don't think you surf, you will. And you'll become hooked. And I remember being out, you know, on the shore here. I was like, all right, I'll go out for 45 minutes. And I'm out there. I was like, all right, I just catch one more wave and I'm done. Just one more. And yeah, it's pretty addictive. So I do a lot of yoga. And if you go to a lot of yoga studios, every so often it's like, hey, we're having this retreat. You know, come out to Nicaragua or Costa Rica. And I've always wanted to go.
Right.
I've never had the time. And now that I can kind of lump it in with I guess work, right. I guess if I can even call it that, is pretty awesome. So I'm glad you put this together. I've always wanted to go on a yoga retreat. I've always wanted to go, or a lot of times they put it together with surfing or something else. I've always wanted to go.
Right.
And now not only do I have a reason, but it's kind of an excuse too. I'm like, totally. Hey, it's for the studio. Exactly. I gotta go. So,
that's right.
I have to think this is the first kind of yoga surf entrepreneurship podcasting retreat ever put together. So, you have that honor as well.
Let's hope so. I mean, it seems like a natural fit. And, you know, first of all, shout out to both of your companies, Coworks and A Shared Universe, are, you know, huge supporters of this and helping make Absolutely. It possible. Also, I'll throw out Wandering Gosling, who helped with the traveling arrangements. Chill RX, we're gonna do a little intro, like cryotherapy before we all get out of here. So like, we'll get us all in the mood, you know, to properly chill before we leave.
Yeah.
So that'll be cool. And then Ming, you're talking about world domination through podcasting. You're obviously like kind of joke around, but you are the pod father.
Thank you.
So, you know, what do you envision for how people can incorporate podcasting into their life? And yeah, how does it like podcasting?
I know the title is tongue in cheek. However, I've, you know, through the last 10 years of doing this, I've realized, I was like, wow, you can really, this is all, podcasting is all self-created. You start the show, you produce it, you book your own guests, you control every aspect of it. You know, if you want to live stream it, you release it whenever you want, you record it whenever you want. I've always thought that was pretty popular. We live in a world where previously there were all these walls put up. If you wanted to broadcast a message like we're doing right now, you had to go to broadcasting school and dump. I don't know what the Connecticut School of Broadcasting is charging
right. These
days. I've heard like up to 15 grand, which is ridiculous.
It is. But I also heard Gary Vee this morning. He was talking about, he's like, dude, if you wanted to put out what you're putting out this morning, like this content, it was like probably over $1 million production.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about like the gear of the studio.
You had to erect an antenna. I don't know how transmitters, get FCC approval,
right.
You know, get some kind of training. Previously you had to go to school, get hired by a radio station, audition. Maybe they would give you, you know, a time slot. And then once you got on there, you couldn't say whatever you wanted. You'd have to stick to their format and throw in ads and commercial breaks. And there were rules.
Right.
And I love this format because there are no rules. And if you wake up one day and you're like, wow, I have a message that I want to put out to the world. You literally hit a couple buttons, upload a file, and there it is. Where previously that was, it was either $1 million or a radio station. It was almost impossible.
Right.
So, I was inspired in high school. I took a radio production class, and the instructor was like, you can broadcast, but it has to be under a mile. You can go out and buy a transmitter at Radio Shack. And the FCC says you can broadcast under a mile.
Right.
And I was like, well, that's cool. All my friends live in the same neighborhood. At least I would have them as an audience.
Right.
So I went to Radio Shack and I was like, hey, where's this magic box where I can, I can transmit under a mile? And they showed it to me, but it was like $700.
Was it really?
And, I was making $325 an hour at Long John Silver's. That was my first job. And I was like, well, that's a lot of, this is a lot of frying fish. And it's probably not, in the end, I was like, you know what, I'd rather, it's out of my budget. So I've always, from that point on, I've always wanted to broadcast or just get some kind of message out there. Right. And once this rolled along, I was like, wait, there are no rules. I could go. I could do this whenever I want.
Right.
I control everything.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Aspect, this is cool. Initially, I was hesitant, though. I'm not the talking guy. I'm the guy behind the computer uploading other people's podcasts, right, helping them produce them, which is how I got started with when Kevin Smith started his podcast. I handled all the technical details. Once I kind of found my own voice, and he had to kind of force it, though. He was kind of like, I want you to start a podcast. I'm starting a network. I need other voices on that network that aren't me. I need you to start a podcast. And I was hesitant. I'm like, I'm not famous. I don't have a built-in audience. Right. I'm not a great storyteller. I'm the shy kid who sits behind computers all day, right, helping people who are good at that. He's like, no, just start your own show. I was like, what am I going to talk about? It's like, talk about your passions. What are you interested in? And once I got that going, I became hooked.
Right. It's funny because I think of you as a talking guy, you know?
So yeah, no, not at all. Right. I was, I barely said a word in high school. College was, opened up a little bit more, but I think it was right after I met Kevin and he was like, listen, just get it out there. You'll find your audience. It's not like being at a party where you have to kind of sell yourself. It's, you broadcast your message, people find you and, you'll find the people who are into the same stuff that you're into, or right, people will be attracted to your message, and that's where your audiences. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Right. So, there's one thing one of the things I've done in the last 10 years where I never lost the love for it. If you met me like 7 years ago, I was like, hey, I'm going to try triathlons. This could be fun. And after two, I kind of lost interest. You know, I've fallen in and out of a lot of things, but yoga is another one of the things that I've never lost the love for in the last 10 years.
Right.
And, I was really into surfing for a while, and surfing takes a little more dedication. I fell out of that, but I'm really itching to get back on the water for sure.
That's cool.
And, this will definitely get me back into it.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah. But, I would love to help other people find their own voices, start their own podcasts, get their messages out there, or just talk about their passions, or get together with friends and, talk about whatever you're into, or, I think most people have something that they want to share with the world. And this is, I think, no doubt the best way to do it.
Totally. I mean, that's what I envision for people to come on the trip, that, maybe they've thought about a podcast, but haven't done anything. Yeah. They think it's too hard, whatever. They can sit with you, learn how to do it, yeah, see how easy it is. I mean, we could be sitting in Nicaragua, like on a yoga deck at night, just talking and podcasting.
Yeah, I've podcasted all week, pretty weird places, in mid-flight. I think the weirdest place I've ever podcasted was on top of a double-decker bus driving through the streets of New York City. It was us four. Kevin was there. He refused to sit down, so he stood up the whole time. And every time we went near a stoplight,
right,
we'd have to tell him to duck or else he was going to get clocked in the back of the head. And it turned out pretty well. There was a select, there were winners of a contest, so they got to ride along with us.
That's pretty sweet.
There was a couple on there who just decided to have Kevin marry them as we're driving through the streets in New York. Kevin's an ordained minister. So yeah, it ended up pretty wild, but
nice.
That's the other message. You could literally, a couple mics, a recorder the size of a couple cigarette packs. Right. You can do this anywhere.
That's cool. So you had mentioned you have some new gear for this trip, so we might even be able to do like beach podcasting.
Oh yeah, absolutely. A company called Zoom has a battery powered mixing board that they just came out with, geared specifically toward podcasters.
That's cool.
And I can't wait to get it out there. It'd be great.
That is pretty sweet. All right. Anyone have questions for each other, like expectations, anything?
Well, you're just talking about these conversations, and I think, I've sat down with you guys, Evan and Brett, on different occasions, and sometimes it's like just our conversations in and of themselves. It's like, oh, we should be recording this,
Right.
And I think that's going to be a really nice place to just, you know, share meals together, like come together over yoga or surfing or whatever it is that we're doing, and start talking about ideas, you know, and then ideas that are influential and meaningful to us and have the potential for changing the world and how we put them into action. So, yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, a couple of people I talked to about the idea, they, you know, maybe they're not coming this time, but they were immediately into it and said every time they've gone on this kind of trip, like they've come home and implemented some big idea they had, and like new companies have come out of it or new partnerships, things like that. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
And maybe like, you know, those conversations you mentioned, like of, you know, talking to someone at 3 a.m. looking at the stars. I mean, that's a pretty cool podcast
material. Yeah. Right, I think that, totally. That partially inspired the studio, all the inane conversations we would have at the bar. And at the end, I was like, man, what if we weren't recording all of that? And I was like, well, you know, one day we could.
Right.
And so that was partial inspiration for this place as well. But around a fire on a beach at 3 a.m. in the morning, that would be even better.
Right.
Yeah.
That's pretty killer. Sweet. Yeah, I mean, that's like, I mean, just for the nuts and bolts of the trip, that's pretty much everything that's included. So like people that come, you know, yoga or meditation with you two guys in the morning for whoever wants it. All the meals are there together. Podcasting in the night. We have presentations every night. There's surfing school. so my goal is, I don't know, you know, we're going to be there a week of surfing school. If I can ride one friggin' wave by the end of the week, like I view that as a success, you know. If I don't throw it in for a boogie board, like
bodyboard. We'll get you.
Let's talk about the food, because like the food in the jungle, have you been to like Costa Rica or other places before?
That's the whole other reason I'm doing all this. Is these are all places I've looked at forever and have never gone. Yeah. So like I've been to go.
I've never been to Nicaragua, but I've been to like Costa Rica and parts of Mexico. What about you, Ming?
No, I mean, as much travel as I've done in the last 5 years, most of it's domestic, rarely do I leave the United States. So I'm very excited to see, you know, the outside world.
So there's like 30 different kinds of bananas. There's like bananas that taste like mangoes and bananas that taste like pineapples and bananas that taste like apples. And it's like just the fruit alone is like amazing.
You sound a bit like Willy Wonka when you're describing.
Yeah, yeah. The everlasting gobstopper, everlasting bananas.
We'll make
you
sure.
You know, like that tunnel where it's like gets a little scary.
That's right.
And
Snosberry.
Trippy. You can expect that from me.
We can take a trip through the Central Market in San Juan. It's kind of like that.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It's produce in bootleg Tonya t-shirts and tank tops.
But wait, what's Tonya?
That's like the national beer.
So. Oh, okay.
Really, that's pretty funny.
But yeah, it's crazy. The fruit there is crazy. It's Central America. Like anything you could picture, you see like when you think of that part of the world, it's awesome.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I guess for people that are into seafood, it's got to be like a lot of fresh seafood from there in the fishing village, right?
Yeah, it's literally like when you go to get like fish or lobster or whatever, and like the joke was always, oh, it takes like 2 hours because the guy's got to go out and like cast a line. Wait for something and then bring it back, throw it on the grill, and that's pretty much like every when you go out to eat, it's like 2 hours.
But, that's cool.
But that's part of the experience too.
Right.
So do we have a chef that's cooking for us? Tell us about the place we're staying.
Yeah, so the place we're staying is actually like a hookup through a friend of Brett's again, whose name is like totally escaping me right now.
Abe,
that's right. How could I forget Abe? So Abe's like our man on the ground who said immediately, like, this is the place you have to stay. So we actually, they're preparing some photos and stuff for us this week of what people can expect from meals. but yes, everything will be prepared there. And my understanding is like kind of similar. It's like what's available that day and sort of create it as you go. But obviously with all the fruits and everything you mentioned, like good vegetarian options for people that are into that, fresh seafood, everything. But yeah, we'll all be at the same place. So where we're staying, eating, everything together.
And that video we saw too, right? With the sort of half round pool that looks over the jungle and the ocean. That's where we're staying.
That's where we're staying. Cool. Yeah. There's a yoga deck up there. Pool, like infinity looking pool kind of place. So it looks like a lot of obviously open air space. Apparently we're like sort of in a still a jungle kind of environment a little bit, like walk through a little bit of jungle to the beach. I mean, I've heard, what's your experience like in jungle-ish area there?
It's, yeah, I mean, it's a little bit developed, but it's not like, I mean, when you say developed, it's like, we think New Jersey.
Right.
Like there might be a couple little like houses or boutique hotels, but then it's just like, it's jungle.
Yeah.
And one of my, like, I love like we're situated on the cliff overlooking the beach and there's just a couple different paths you can walk down. But that's, I'd love it like sunset or at sunrise, like going on those walks because all the animals are starting to come out.
Right.
And it's just like crazy, like the sounds and the colors and it's pretty like inspiring.
So what kind of animals are you going to see? I've heard monkeys around there.
You're going to get howlers there.
Yeah. I was about to say, are there howler monkeys at, like, right at the crack of dawn at 6 a.m.? I don't think there's
4:30. You're going to get howlers. You might see some snakes, nothing crazy.
Right.
Birds.
Yeah, crazy, just birds out of like National Geographic.
Really?
One of the things that's interesting about Nicaragua is it's actually more of an arid, like desert jungle environment. It's like a drier tropical jungle than like a Costa Rica or like Amazon. Mm-hmm. So it's, we're going kind of, I guess, like a dry season, but it's like there's still like, it's not going to be like this big lush thing, but there's still just like crazy animals and it's like a different, it's like just a really unique, cool experience.
That is cool. What else is unique to Nicaragua? Like, as I'm drinking coffee, I'm thinking, is there like, how's the coffee there? That kind of
stuff. Coffee's good. Most of the coffee plantations are up in the north, or the fincas, which farm in Spanish, are up in the north. Which is about like four and a half hours. And that's crazy up there because like this, we're primarily going to be in southern Nicaragua, but you go to, northern Nicaragua and it's like mountains and it's like we're in like a tropical hot area, but you go up there and there's nights it's like 60 degrees and you're like where am I?
Right.
Am I in New Jersey? So it's got a pretty diverse, climate in terms of depending where you are in the country.
Right.
I love the food. It's very kind of like Central American. If you ever had like quesado in Costa Rica, it's like the big dish, but this is like gallo pinto and like tostones and platanos.
Yum.
lots of like that,
right.
Which I crave. I cook here. So
that's cool.
So
maybe you should do some impromptu cooking too while you're there. That would be cool.
I could do,
Brett and I, we can get down.
We could probably tag team a dinner.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Fun.
So I feel like a lot of people talk about Costa Rica, but oddly enough, there's a handful of people I've encountered in Asbury that talk about Nicaragua a lot. Like they go there or have been there. So for people that are familiar with Costa Rica, how would you compare the two countries?
They're both great. I mean, I've done, like I said, I've done probably, I don't know, 15 or 20 trips to Nicaragua, but I've probably done like 5 or 6 trips to Costa Rica.
Right.
I love them both. I found Costa Rica getting like when I first started with Nicaragua, I'd done a couple trips and it was getting pretty busy. But again, it's such a relative term because it's still like, it's not like New Jersey busy.
Right.
And it was one of the things that every time I went to Costa Rica, people were like, oh, you love this? You should go to Nicaragua. So it was just kind of on my radar. And then I, around, like I said, 2009, I was like, I'm going to try it out. And I went there and it was like the same, but completely different.
Right.
And it's just blew my mind. Like how even like more, I remember like stepping out of the plane and just being like, I think I'm on another planet. And I love those experiences.
That's really cool.
And that was like something that I definitely got out of that first trip and it kept bringing me back.
Nice. Can you think of anything you brought back from your travels there that you incorporated into life here? Or something you discovered there that gave you an idea?
I have friends all over the world now that I've met that have either like lived down there and done some stuff there for a number of years, whether it's like real estate or business and then moving on. Just people I've met through travel. because when you're in that intense environment, and like I would go down for like sometimes upwards of like 6 weeks at a clip. So you really, you're not there and like meeting somebody for 24 hours then right. bouncing. So I guess some of the friendships that I've developed over the years, and I've been like literally in places like in like Belgium or like Southeast Asia and other places where it's like I've met somebody in Nicaragua and I know they're in the area and I'm just like hit them up on Facebook or Instagram and be like, hey, are you in town? And then you have like a guide for the night.
That's cool.
And so I'd say the friendships are probably the best thing that I brought home. But
that's really cool. Yeah. So Abe, your friend, is someone. So part of what I'm going to incorporate also into like more of a sort of presentation, Abe's going to come join us. So he's someone that traveled to Nicaragua, I guess loved it so much that he stayed. He's developed some projects there, is my understanding. Like maybe he bought some land, put together like Airbnb, sold something, developed another one, that kind of stuff. But seems to be, he's also like, every so often you'll message him and be like, oh, sorry, man, I was like in the jungle for like the last 5 days without internet. You're like, wow, that's sweet, man. And the people that run the place where we'll be staying are also, I think one's originally Canadian, one's European. And like, so we're going to incorporate this group of people that have like fallen in love with Nicaragua and stayed there. Like one of my interests is like, I feel travel is extremely important to get ideas for business and learn new things, obviously meet new people, different, you know, be exposed to different ideas. So I want to incorporate some of the locals or expats that are there. Tell us about their experiences or provide some information for people. Like you've bought land in Nicaragua. Let's, you know, maybe we talk about how do you, what's that process like and can help people that are interested in that figure that out.
Slow.
Yeah.
That's right. Very slow. And you have to be very trusting.
Right. Yeah, it's a leap of faith for sure, right? That's cool. All right, so a typical day down there is basically like yoga available, meditation available in the mornings if you want it. We all have breakfast, surf school, or for people that are experienced surfers, there's, you know, great surf to get out. You can get a board, that kind of stuff. Lunch all together. Probably like pre-dinner is when we'll be doing these sort of mastermind groups. Mm-hmm. And then after dinner, it's like free for all. Like if people want to go out to wherever, if you want to hang out, like do group things. I think we'll probably be podcasting a lot around the compound in the evening.
That sounds awesome.
You know, so people that want to start a podcast, we can put them down and they could leave with episodes, you know, of their new podcast.
Yeah, in like the coolest podcast studio ever.
That's right.
Like, at this place in Nicaragua. It's awesome.
Totally. So I think that will be really killer. You know, and then the sort of last day, there's a free for all. We have a travel agent that can help people that want to, like, if there's some kind of excursion they want to plan, something to do on their own, that kind of thing. So that's pretty much the lay of the land. What do you guys want to get out of it for yourself? You're each like doing something to help people that come. Like, Ming, what are you looking to get out of this experience?
I mean, just at this table, I have three people who inspire me greatly. People get things done. People have been through a lot of experiences. People who have succeeded. And I'm looking to gather inspiration from all of you. And I want to learn how you guys do what you guys do. Especially with the short amount of time allotted to us per day. I'm other than not sleeping. I don't know how all of you guys get all this done. So I'm looking to get some inspiration, and a lot of learning from you guys, for sure. I wake up here and travel a lot, but it's a lot of concrete. It's a lot of highways. It's this absolute paradise is something I don't see every day. So I'm looking to experience that for an entire week. Sounds pretty amazing. So even though we're learning at the same time with yoga, meditation, it's a retreat. You get to slow down a little bit.
Right.
And hopefully I can just throw my phone away maybe for a week and see what happens. And, just don't bug me. I'm not even in the country. So right. I am looking forward to that as well.
That is cool. And I'll piggyback on that. I mean, that was a big idea of mine that selfishly, like I want to get out of it. But I think for the people that come on the trip, that's the killer opportunity is like, you know, Ming, I see you like on a window on Tuesdays when we podcast. I'll bump, you know, see you here and there, but you're busy. You're traveling a lot. That's it. Brett, like we talk here and there when I see you working. Half the time I can't tell if you're on a call with your headphones in or not. So I'm like nervous to like say hi and interrupt you. But, you know, we'll have quick conversations because you got a lot going on in your life. Summer, I see you at your class and we meet up for coffee here and there. And so everyone's friggin' busy. And like I have the opportunity to sit in this place for a week and chill and hang out with you where you don't have other distractions. And for people that come on this trip, that opportunity I think is amazing. Like, they can sit with each of you and, you know, learn from you and talk to you in a relaxed atmosphere. It's like the access and the, you know, unbothered time is killer. So what about you? What do you, aside from getting your family out of the country for the first time, maybe, maybe not, getting back to Nicaragua, what else are you looking to get out of this?
I mean, along those lines, I mean, I very much value being around other people in, in like ways other than it's just like the trivial, like, hey, what's going on?
Right.
And I think one of the things that of the 300 hour that we did that was really awesome was, I felt like I walked out of there with like very close to like everybody that was in there. And it's like, even if I don't see like we obviously see each other a lot, but some of the people in the training I don't see all that often, but when I do run into them, it's not just like a superficial like, hey, it's like a meaningful conversation. Or if I get like an email from somebody and they need something, I'm going to help them, and vice versa. And it's like, so that connection that you can build, that human connection.
Yeah, that's really cool. Summer, what are you going to get out of this?
Yeah, I kind of like ditto everything that you guys are saying, and just like sunshine in March. Like that's like why I said yes. Like, this is like the perfect week to go away. It's like spring is not here, at least in the Northeast, you know, and it's cold as hell still, and you're so done with winter. And yeah, just like craving vitamin D. So I'm going to absorb an incredible amount of sun. Yeah. And that like slowing down into, moss time, you know, the way that like, things grow so slowly, you know, but it, before you know it, like moss is covered in complete huge stone. So yeah, like tapping into that, I think it's reflection too, like seeing like, oh, you know, we stay so busy all the time, but like a time to reflect and be like, oh wow, actually look at what I've accomplished. You know, I'm also excited about recording meditations with Mink.
That'll be really cool.
Yeah
I mean, talk about a killer setting to do that. Holy crap.
Yeah. We've had a couple record here in studio meditations, but, you know, it's four walls in New Jersey. Right. So, we do it virtually anywhere in Nicaragua, which would be pretty amazing.
Right. If we can do some field recordings and some nature sounds.
Might hear some howler monkeys in the background.
Yeah. You
know, that'd be really cool.
Pretty cool.
All right. That's awesome. All right, cool. So I totally sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. Like, thank you for, like, I don't even know what I'm doing putting this thing together. And Summer, you've been like a huge resource because you've done retreats before. But I appreciate all of you, like, really immediately saying yes, like, totally, I'm in, like, as we're figuring it out as we go, or I'm figuring it out as I go. So it means a lot to me, and I'm psyched that you're all a part of it. Like, really looking forward to doing this, this retreat. So people can check it out. One development is it was themulletlife.com, and miraculously mulletlife.com became available as we're rebuilding the site. So look for it now at themulletlife.com. We'll forward it anyway, but it will be at mulletlife.com. You can purchase the trip. We're going to roll out a little Black Friday special this week. So let's get this bad boy sold and booked up, and figure out who we're all going to be traveling with. Learning to surf, learning to do yoga, learning to be present, learning to manage time, learning to podcast, all that awesome stuff. So thank you all. Appreciate it. Follow everyone that's here. Summer, follow her at sacred.shape. I'm also going to upload, you've all been guests on the Mulletcast before, so we're going to start pushing out like this episode and all your previous appearances on the Mulletcast. Check out Brett Morgan at Brett Morgan. Ming is at MingChen37, and I'm at Evan Balmer. Thanks for checking out the Mulletcast, and come join us in Nicaragua next March. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.